The Light is the Architecture, a Star Wars story for Pod Together 2017, written by Heart Equals, and X-Men Hater as Padme Amidala. Padme. Anakin is teasing Obi-Wan mercilessly, with an ease that almost makes Padme jealous. Anakin is her husband, and he loves her first and foremost. But with Anakin comes Obi-Wan, and the familiarity the two have speaks to a shared decade she'll never be able to match. And some kind of force-anchored bond, apparently. She's going to research Jedi behavior tomorrow.
So just because you have a crush on your commander,
Anakin, please, don't be gauche.
It's okay, says Anakin. We understand, don't we, Padme?
Padme very much does not understand.
They're clones, Anakin, she says cautiously, lest she tread on either man's ego.
Normally she'd have no problem treading on Anakin's ego, but Obi-Wan is a guest and a Jedi Master, and she respects him as such.
You can't see the light in them? Anakin asks.
Padme looks at Obi-Wan, baffled. Obi-Wan raises his eyebrows.
What light, Anakin? He asks. The light, you know, the light around them?
Anakin looks as confused as Padme feels.
It changes with each clone. You don't see it, Obi-Wan? You're the chosen one, Anakin. You see things far beyond what Padme and I ever will. Okay, says Anakin.
He takes this easily. Padme wonders how many times he's heard, "You're the chosen one," as an explanation for any of his many idiosyncrasies. How many times had this been a blessing? How many times had this been a complaint? How many times had it been true?
The clones have light around them, Anakin continues. It's different for each one, and Commander Cody's is definitely the brightest of the 212th, so it makes sense that you'd be attracted to him. I am not attracted to him, says Obi-Wan with a huff. And this light, is it an aura? No, it's light, says Anakin, with the patience of a man who has spent the past 10 years explaining his chosen one idiosyncrasies to Obi-Wan. That is, not patient at all. I can't explain it.
Padme is ceaselessly fascinated by her husband, and will be until all the stars in the galaxy burn out. That said,
are you sure you weren't under the influence of any hallucinogens when you met Commander Cody? It wouldn't be the first time you've met someone in such a state. You told me about your first trip to Mon Cala.
First of all, that was Obi-Wan's fault. Second, I didn't see light. I saw two-headed Mon Calamari. Totally different.
Obi-Wan strokes the edges of his mustache with one hand. He looks thoughtful.
Interesting. What, your attraction to Commander Cody or the light? Anakin, I will send you to bed without dessert, says Obi-Wan. You can't. I don't live with you anymore, he shoots back.
Padme is also fascinated by Obi-Wan. She's not sure if it's professional interest or personal. She loves Anakin, and she knows he loves her, but she can never pretend to know what is going on inside his head at any given moment if he doesn't tell her. She's not sure she really wants to know. She loves his unknowable mysteries. With Obi-Wan, however, she knows that she wants to pry and pry until she can climb into his head and dig around in there.
Obi-Wan, why did you make Anakin eat hallucinogenic seaweed on Mon Cala?
Obi-Wan has the grace to look faintly embarrassed.
Ah, I wasn't convinced they were hallucinogenic, so he volunteered to try them. You told me to, says Anakin. All right, says Obi-Wan. We played rock, flimsy lightsaber, and he lost.
Padme laughs.
I thought the Jedi were more
dignified, Anakin says. I thought so, too. Anakin.
Judicious, Padme continues. Rock, flimsy lightsaber would never hold up in a court.
I could have taken him to court? Anakin looks delighted.
The order stands outside the rule of the Senate and the courts, says Padme. If you were an apprentice in a trade, you would have had a case. Unfortunately, Obi-Wan could accidentally kill you and no one outside the Order would prosecute.
The Order doesn't prosecute, says Obi-Wan, looking similarly delighted. They merely reassign.
Anakin considers this, brow furrowed.
Padme notes with some interest that Obi-Wan's smile could be described as nothing less than shit-stirring.
Okay, says Anakin finally. I'm glad I survived your tyrannical rule for 10 years to become a knight so I can fairly kick your... Still a Jedi Master. Your very masterly... Still a Jedi Master. Your very masterly butt in the dojo, says Anakin. Where's the cake? Isn't this my party?
Obi-Wan laughs. Padme points at the kitchen. Anakin glares at Obi-Wan first and looks pleadingly at Padme second. Padme raises an eyebrow. Anakin gets up and fetches the cake. Padme. And then, Padme says, waving her fork around, Senator Liu said he couldn't see how a coalition would benefit his star system specifically, because resources would be spread out over dozens of star systems, when I clearly told him that a Midrim coalition would ensure aid to all Midrim star systems because the Senate couldn't ignore a coalition like they do us individually. She stops. Obi-Wan and Anakin are looking at her expectantly. What? She demands.
You dropped your cake, says Anakin. For the third time.
I worked very hard to steal that cake, says Obi-Wan. Please try it. Don't try to placate me, says Padme. This is important. She stabs at her slice of cake and takes a bite. Oh, my ever-loving stars, what is this?
Chandrula pepper, distilled Dawaki spice, and vanilla, says Anakin.
Padme can't decide if she's going to vomit or if she's going to throw both men out of her apartment so she can eat the entire cake in peace. She takes another bite to decide. Obi-Wan leaves the room briefly and comes back with 3 tumblers and her bottle of Jedi whiskey. He pours the whiskey liberally and passes the glasses around.
To Padme, he says, raising his glass. May she create a coalition for Midrim star systems and perhaps broker peace in this wretched war.
Oh, don't make fun, says Padme, right before she takes a sip. It tastes amazing with the cake.
I'm not, says Obi-Wan. If anyone could turn the tide of the Senate toward peace talks, it would be you.
I can't even get 3 senators to sign on to a coalition, says Padme. She takes another bite. And you know as well as I that the Senate is not ready for peace talks.
I wish they were, says Anakin,
slicing his cake into ever smaller bites with his fork, but never taking any of them.
I'm tired of this war. I'm tired of spending every day fighting droids. I'm tired of watching my men die because of those idiot droids. And I'm especially tired of being away from you.
Obi-Wan coughs. Anakin says,
What? I'm not allowed to miss the presence of my best friend? I don't even see you enough as it is.
Padme can see. A Jedi shall know no attachments written all over Obi-Wan's face. It's fascinating to watch Anakin needle him like this, to toy with his emotions, to see how far he can take it before Obi-Wan snaps. And to playmake that she and Anakin are only friends. She wishes they could tell Obi-Wan, but a war is not the time or place. She's gotten to know Obi-Wan well over the past 2 years. She thinks that, if they told him, he would be upset but keep the secret. He's a good man. She cares for him deeply, and not just because Anakin does. A toast, she says, to friendship. Let us live through the war to old, comfortable ages. They drink. She finishes her slice of cake. I'd like another slice, she says, shoving her plate across the table. Anakin cuts her an enormous slice and hands her back her plate. This reminds me of the cake they used to serve in the palace, she says, between bites. One of my handmaidens, for every year of her service with me, she'd request chandrila pepper and spice liqueur cake. The kitchen staff thought I spoiled them too much because spice liqueur is a controlled substance on Naboo.
They would lay down their lives for you, Obi-Wan says, looking thoroughly amused at how fast she is eating.
Obviously. And they were more than handmaidens. They were my best friends, my confidants, my top advisors. She finishes her slice and debates another. She takes another sip of her whiskey. I had a cadre of official advisors, but the collective knowledge of my handmaidens topped their expertise. She drains her glass. You would be surprised at how much people talk when they don't see handmaidens as politicians, as people, really. She looks down at her empty glass, then up at Obi-Wan and Anakin. My official advisors treated my handmaidens so poorly, as if their only job was to dress me. But they're out of office now, and some of my former handmaidens have their jobs.
I love a good underdog story, says Anakin with a smile. Hey, Obi-Wan, remember that time you and Master Qui-Gon never realized that Padme the Handmaiden was Amidala the Queen? For the last time, Anakin, we absolutely knew. Qui-Gon and I had a bet riding on it.
Really?
Padme asks as she scrapes crumbs from her plate onto her fork. Yes, says Obi-Wan.
No, says Anakin.
Padme's not sure who to believe, and she doesn't really care. They're smiling brightly at each other, at her, like twin suns breaking through the clouds. She is suddenly desperately glad for their presence in her home today, when at first all she'd wanted to do upon coming home was shower and sulk.
I'd like another slice, please, she says, passing her plate to Anakin.
He laughs. Padme. Anakin has gotten a lot better at holding his alcohol over the past 3 years, Padme notices. He's matched her and Obi-Wan glass for glass, and doesn't look like he's about to pass out just yet. Which is good, because...
Neither of you are leaving until we're finished, she says,
waving her hand in the direction of the dining room and the wretched, still half-full punch bowl.
Understood, says Anakin.
Stars preserve us, says Obi-Wan.
If you even try to slip out the door, Master Kenobi, I will send my bodyguards after you and have them drag you back here by your ankles.
You dismissed your bodyguards for the evening.
I'll call them back.
She raises her chin and glares at him. Drink. They've moved from the dining room to her living room. Padme is the only one whose back is still straight against the couch. Anakin is slouched over, swirling his drink in his glass. Obi-Wan has his legs crossed and he's leaning against the couch, drink in hand. She narrows her eyes. He drinks.
Are you still sleeping with Commander Cody? Anakin asks, before draining his glass and smirking at Obi-Wan.
Anakin, I will drown you in that punch bowl, says Obi-Wan pleasantly.
This is a violence-free home, says Padme.
She drains her glass, too.
Naboo is a peaceful planet, and as their sworn senator and former queen, I am beholden to the values of our planet.
So if you weren't a senator or former queen, Obi-Wan could murder me and you wouldn't care?
I wouldn't even know you two, but I'd care just the same.
Obi-Wan strokes the edges of his beard. I wonder if Qui-Gon would still be alive if you were never queen.
I wonder if I'd still be a slave.
Let's not play this game again, says Padme. We decided last time that events would play out exactly the same, remember? Except I'd be at home being forced to take harp lessons and resenting my father and mother for not letting me be a politician, even though I was vastly more qualified than any other person running for royal statehood.
Both men look at her.
You played harp? Asks Anakin.
My parents made me take lessons. They thought it would distract me from politics. They were, of course, wrong.
Do you still play? Obi-Wan asks.
Not at all, though my father bought me one and had it sent to my home here. I think he meant to remind me that I don't belong in politics. Or he thought it was a nice gesture of support. I'm not really sure.
She shrugged.
I don't really care. I don't play it.
Where is it? Asks Anakin. I've never seen it.
In the closet of the guest room. Why?
Obi-Wan plays, says Anakin, jumping to his feet and wobbling only a little. Anakin, I will drown you in that punch bowl, says Obi-Wan.
No violence!
Anakin races through her halls. Obi-Wan sighs loudly and takes their empty glasses. Padme smiles at him.
I'm sorry.
You'll be more sorry when he makes me play, says Obi-Wan. I'm afraid my skill is not what he believes it to be. He's only heard me play once.
Yeah, but you were amazing, says Anakin. The several kilos heavy harp floats a quarter meter above the ground in front of him as he walks back into the room, hand raised to keep it steady.
You were 12, says Obi-Wan. You thought everything I did was amazing. Everything you did was amazing. Everything you still do is amazing.
Anakin lets his hand drift slowly to the ground. The harp settles on the carpet next to the arm of the couch gracefully.
"Chosen One refills the drinks," says Obi-Wan, handing him the empty glasses.
"Master of the Chosen One plays the harp," Anakin says.
"You'll have to tune it," says Padme.
"My skill doesn't extend that far," says Obi-Wan. "How unfortunate."
"I know how to tune it," says Padme, getting up. "Excuse me." She rushes to the guest room and rifles through the closet until she finds the case with the tuning fork and tuning key.
She returns to the living room to find Obi-Wan and Anakin carrying the punch bowl to the table usually reserved for morning cups of caff, while she reads through Coruscant's Holonet news.
"Makes it easier," Anakin explains.
She settles on the arm of the couch and begins the process of tuning the harp. Anakin and Obi-Wan watch her and drink. They know enough about instruments to remain quiet until she finishes the last string.
"Your turn," she says,
riding the harp and joining Anakin on the couch. He hands her a glass. To her dismay, they've only drunk a few centimeters down from half of the punch bowl. Obi-Wan finishes his glass and stands.
"I only know a few core waltzes, and some Stugonian ballads. What would you like me to play?"
"I want to hear what you played for Anakin," says Padme.
He puts an arm around her. They drink in tandem.
"Very well," says Obi-Wan. "This is called Sight of the Holy Ones, and it's from Alderaan."
He plays. He plays so beautifully that Padme, who can finally admit that she is drunk, is brought to tears.
"See?" says Anakin, after the last note fades into silence. "He's amazing."
"Fill my glass," Obi-Wan says.
Padme does so with shaking hands. When he takes the glass from her, he presses his fingers against hers briefly.
"Thank you."
"No, thank you," she says. "That was beautiful."
"Play another," says Anakin,
who has reached the belligerent stage of his drunkenness. He fills Padme's glass. Obi-Wan sips from his glass.
"I can barely feel my fingers," he says.
"Doesn't matter. If you can play Sight of the Holy Ones from memory without mistake, you can play anything."
"Fine. This is Ophelia's Fading Light from the tragedy of Hamlet, Prince of Dote."
"I love that opera," says Padme.
"Well, I hope I do it justice."
He starts to play again. Anakin looks at both of them, Padme first, then Obi-Wan. The fondness on his face is so gentle and beautiful that Padme can barely stand it. She loves him so much. She loves Obi-Wan, too, and the music he is playing, and the beautiful oasis they've created for themselves in the hectic planet, in the chaos of the war. Padme finishes her glass and hums along. Obi-Wan smiles. Anakin puts an arm around her again.